what up, though? A special Happy New Year, what up, though? I'm Reggie Watkins, and you're listening to I'm Probably Right. Rate us, review us, subscribe, comment. But please don't be hating. Leave that in 2022. It's 2023, baby. And my man Kevin Cleveland's running the show, engineering, producing. Kevin, what's good? How you doing, brother?
Hey, Reg. I'm doing really good, man. Excited about the show today. We got some great topics to talk about.
Yeah, got some good stuff to talk about today. And we got one of my favorite people in the world on with us today. My man, Justin Wilson, or we call him Dub in the Bay. You know, he's here with us, Niner fan.
Hey.
Yeah. We're going to talk about all things.
Happy New Year, my dude.
Yes, sir. Happy New Year, brother. Hey, we're going to talk about everything NFL. We're going to talk about the Niners, our team. We're going to talk about the playoffs. We're going to talk some national championship and some little gambling. But first up, okay, so as y'all know, I have been gone, you know, over the Christmas break, New Year's break, all that stuff. Actually, I think I was back around Christmas, but I was definitely gone for the week of New Year's because I was in Vegas getting my turn up on. But Dub, you know what was going on during that week? I was coming back on Monday from Vegas, right? And I was on my flight, and I'm trying to watch the game on my phone. It was the Bills and the Bengals, and then all of a sudden, the game was postponed, and this was like
delayed,
early in the game.
Yeah.
It was saying like delayed or postponed, and I was like, "What the hell is going on?" And then I went to Twitter, which is where I go as soon as I go for my news to Twitter, and as soon as I went there, I was hearing about Damar Hamlin. Then I text you, and we was talking about it, and I saw the video, and for those of you, everybody that's listened to this has seen it and knows what happened. Damar Hamlin made a routine tackle, basically, got up, and then collapsed on the ground, and then all of a sudden, they was going to commercial break like four straight times, and me, anybody else who watches the football, has been watching football forever, has been around football, I immediately wondered if that dude was dead.
That ain't normal.
Yeah, it wasn't normal. What were you thinking?
So I wasn't actively watching the game, right? I was kind of just in and out doing stuff in the background. And when I came back, I saw that it had been postponed or whatnot, which I thought was weird. I was thinking, okay, is there snow? Is there thunder? You know, they pause a game, there's lightning or whatever.
I thought lightning. That's what I thought too, lightning. Yeah.
Yeah, like lightning. But then I heard the announcers, and I kind of heard their, how kind of somber they were. And it was different than when somebody tears an ACL or something like that, breaks something. And then I saw the play, not on TV, but online. I went online and saw the play that happened. And I was like, okay, this is different. I played football. I've never seen this. And to your point, I honestly thought we were to get like an update that night or the next day that he didn't make it. Like, it's just, it felt different. It didn't look good, and it felt different.
It looked different. It felt different. And for a dude to pass, and they were giving him CPR, right? They're giving him CPR. The ambulance comes out, and the ambulance wasn't even moving. The ambulance wasn't even in a hurry. It was like just getting out there. It was like they already know what's going on. You know what I'm saying? And it was just so crazy to me to see that it happened. But the first thing I went to after it happened, I was wondering, like, is the NFL going to keep playing this game? Like, what are they going to do? Because the NFL has no chill, really. I mean, they did the right thing by canceling the game and not playing it. But, I mean, please believe, there were people in the stands and people on the field. There was other dudes on the field, even though most of them were like, yo, shook. There was dudes who was ready to, hey, okay, we're going to play ball. Like, I thought the NFL might keep this game going because revenue never sleeps. You know what I'm saying? And I was surprised that they canceled it.
I was surprised, but at the same time, I was pleasantly surprised that they did cancel it, right? Like, they did the right thing. But it's like, you know how it is, man. When you're a football player, you're wired to, that next man up mentality. You're just wired a little bit differently. Like, it's a game, your adrenaline's going, you want to play. Because I'm sure not everybody knew, even though they were there on the field, I'm still sure not maybe everybody knew the extent of how bad it was.
Yeah, Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Like, so I was thinking they were, I was surprised. And like you said, pleasantly surprised that they actually canceled the game. And then I just wanted to wait and see what was going to play out in the aftermath, because I thought when he got to the hospital, I was thinking, remember I was texting you, I was like, I think that dude might be dead. Like,
yeah.
I thought they might just be giving us lip service so that people don't really, ain't getting all scared about this football and not really worrying about it. And I thought that he might be out and they just giving us lip service so that people don't lose their minds after having watched somebody die on TV, right?
Yeah. The longer you went without getting it, because usually you get an update like right away, right? Like, even if it's, you know, he's talking or he's breathing. But when you don't get no update the entire evening, that's when I was like fearing for the worst. Like, oh, I don't want, you know, this is the worst news we can possibly get for this young man and his family. But I was fearing the worst, hoping for the best.
Yeah, exactly. But then as the days, you know, as the time was going on and we started hearing that he was doing okay, he was recovering, then I was starting to cringe because I knew what was coming. Right? I knew what was going to come. People were going to find a way to turn this into some Disney moment, some way to make everybody feel great about this thing. When really, what you need to take away from this is we had an episode of the show that I titled "Football is Dangerous," right? Like, I don't think people actually understand how dangerous this thing is. And people just watch it because it's so damn, I mean, Doug, I was having an argument with my son and my wife this weekend talking about what sport is the greatest sport on earth. Like, to me, and I've always said this, football is the greatest sport on earth to me because of the physicality and the mental that you have to have combined to play it, right? You play basketball, ain't nobody running at you to punch you in the stomach or hit you in the mouth as you shoot the ball. You get to do your thing. You get to have your skill. You get to jump through the air and dunk and make it look all good. Dog, you've got to, I mean, these positions, hell, quarterback, you have to drop back trusting that these five dudes in front of you are going to keep the five 300-pound dudes in front of them away from you, right? While you're looking down the field, not looking at the people coming at you, okay? You are looking down the field at guys running around in areas. You have to throw that ball into the area on time while worrying about somebody falling around your feet, your ankles, your back, your head, and you're going to get hit, and it's going to happen about 20 times a game. And you've got to keep doing it over and over. And that's just the quarterback, right? Like, every position is mentally and physically draining. And at any moment, like we saw with Damar Hamlin, that is routine as it comes, what he did. He just had a regular-ass tackle, and that happened to him. Now, it's so minuscule, the odds of something like that happening to everybody. That's how you get to the compartmentalization, right? It's like, I mean, it's a freak accident. Most people are never going to have this happen to them, but it's in your brain. But what I was so worried about was, we're just going to glance right by this. People are going to be, they're going to have their sugar sweet moment. Like, we're praying for DeMar. And we saw all of that this past weekend. Everybody, you know what I mean? Hell, you was talking about what they have, the microphones. What they do with the microphones?
The ESPN microphones with the three instead of the E. And yeah.
Yeah. They did all that. Everybody had the three shirts. And I'm not decrying any of that. That's, yo, of course you want to do that. That's one of the fallen comrades. You want to do all that. Yeah. But what I can't do is all the symbolism that went on. Dog, do you understand? Every game this in week 18, they showed somebody singing the national anthem before every game. We had to watch every game. Somebody, we had to watch them singing the national anthem.
I noticed that. I was thinking, what's going on? Is this the playoffs?
Doug, the NFL turned it into a week of not just caring about Damar Hamlin. It turned into, yo, some patriotism. They find a way to do all this stuff, right? And it's like, during the regular season, we don't maybe the first game of the season, they show us the national anthem. They show us the national anthem on maybe like Thanksgiving, the Thanksgiving games, because they try to give you all the entertainment. But this week, they made us watch the national anthem on every damn, hell, even the Texans and the Colts, they were showing the national anthem. And some of these people can't sing, Dub. Like, what are we, why am I watching these terrible people sing the national anthem? Why?
They got to milk it in, just, man.
They got to milk this stuff in, and it was so annoying.
And I'm not saying it's again, I don't want to say it's scripted, right? But at the end of the day, there's a script that once this happened, and once we all knew he was going to be okay, there is a script. And, I mean, yesterday's game, you can say, you know, the return in Buffalo just that cemented the script right there.
Dub, did you, were you listening to the call? You know who's on the call, right?
It was Romo, right?
It was Romo and Jim Nantz. And Romo, when Nyheim Hines runs that kickoff back, the first kickoff of the game back for a touchdown, do you know what he referenced?
What'd he say?
You seen the movie Angels in the Outfield, haven't you? Dub.
Wow.
I wanted to throw my remote at the TV. And you know what? He didn't, you know, he said Angels out. You know what he actually said? He actually said Angels in the end zone. And I just thought about Angels in the Outfield because I had never heard of a damn Angels in the end zone. Because why would anybody make such a whack ass movie? Right? I didn't know that was such a thing. I didn't. And I went on Twitter and I said, yo, oh, Lord, Tony Romo just made an Angels in the Outfield reference, and people were laughing and you know, liking the whole thing, right? And somebody came in my mentions and was like, imagine not knowing the real reference. And he put a picture of Angels in the end zone. And I said, my bad. I had no idea somebody made some crap like this. I didn't know. I didn't know they took it a step further from the previous terribleness. They added on. They added on. They put it in the football field. Unbelievable, right? And I hate when they do this, right? Because I'm just not a religious dude, but I hate when people try to add all that religion in there. Because, okay, so the Angels was helping out on that first kickoff, but what happened when New England started scoring? Was the Angels taking a break? Was they on nap? Where were the Angels when New England started scoring? Like, what happened?
They was on the sideline chilling.
He was on the side. I can't, it drives me literally insane. And now we got to hear all the, man, the Bills are America's team. Man, if y'all don't stop this.
I think we should leave it as the young man is healthy. He's in a lot better position than he was a week ago. And we've created enough awareness, I think, and keep it moving. Unless, you know, give him an interview. I mean, but you know he's going to be mentioned in every Bills game, every pregame. Like, it's going to keep going, all, especially if they go to the Super Bowl. It's a wrap.
Oh, God.
A full movie will be made.
Oh, movie be made. He's going to be on the field. You know, they're going to walk him out. Every game, when he can finally walk, and I'm glad that he can. But they're going to milk this for so much. And what I really hate that they did is I wish they didn't. I wish they just wouldn't milk this. And I wish they would just milk up his bank accounts, right? Because that's the thing that's killing me. Because this dude ain't got...
Make sure his insurance is
good. Make sure his insurance is guaranteed for life, man. And it's I know it's a special circumstance, but this dude... And just show us how much you actually really care for him. Give him lifetime health care. Let him get the pension. Give whatever years because he can't... Dub, he cannot play football again. It's a wrap.
Well, he that's the story. He cannot go that's back the on the field. That's the underbelly of the NFL, right? Like... it's cool you guys are giving your condolences and your prayers and things like that, but he was only a second-year player.
Yeah, so second-year, sixth-round pick. No.
You know what I'm saying?
No pension. He gets no pension. None. His health care ain't even guaranteed because he's only been in the year two leagues, and he was a sixth-round pick. So I guess he was making like $800,000. This year was his salary, but for the people at home, when we say $800,000 is the salary, don't forget about Uncle Sam and, yeah, already off the rip, take 50% off of there, right? The taxes and the agents and the managers already got 50% of that. 800 went to 400 real quick, real fast. And he's only had that for 2 years. And the older I get, the more I realize 400 grand ain't shit. Okay, like, I mean, it's nice. It's nice to make that kind of money. But I remember what I was like, I remember what I was thinking, man, if I ever made 100 grand, boy, I'm sure I'm good. Dub, I've made 100 grand a couple times in my life, a decade. I made it for a decade. I'm still where I'm at, Dub. I'm still where I'm at. I've been over 100 grand for a decade. I still ain't doing shit.
And so you still in the lines at Walmart.
You know what I'm saying? I'm still out here hustling and grinding, making over 100K a year. You know what I'm saying?
I feel There's you cats. On that. I'm right there with you. You think it's a lot until you make it, then you realize, oh, wow. That ain't what I thought it
was. You know what I'm saying? So that dude needs to get health care forever. He needs to get... he needs to be able to get the pension. Now, of course, you're not going to make his pension what he would have got if he had played for 7-8 years, because you don't know if he'd have done that. But give him a pension for a dude who played 2 years in the NFL, and just give him, you know what I'm saying, 200, give him 100K, 200K for the rest of his life, and while he can work and do something else. Hopefully, the Bills give him a job with the organization. He could do something and be around that for the rest of his career, because he's a symbol of goodwill for them, you know what I'm saying? But yeah. Man, I'm just I just want them to actually put something behind it instead of all these symbols that we had to watch on TV. Actually do something for this dude.
Yeah,
and then we get to the games.
I want DeMar, you know, hopefully I want whatever he wants, right? Like, at the end of the day, hopefully he gets to, you know, tell his side of the story and give his perspective on it. But if he doesn't want to be the face, you know what I mean? He might not want to be the face of this. So I want to respect whatever it is at the end of the day that he wants and what kind of what he wants his legacy to be. Because I'm sure he doesn't want to be known forever as the dude who almost died on the field. Unfortunately, he may not have control over that, but I'm sure that's not what he wants his legacy to be.
Oh yeah. I mean, I give him anything he wants except for some pads and a helmet.
Yeah, exactly. That is
out the window. Nobody is insuring that. That dude has got to. I'm sorry. Hey, man, sometimes being typecast is a good thing. Like, he just gonna have to be, he gonna have to be Arnold in Different Strokes for the rest of his life. That's who he is. He is the dude who almost died on the football field, and this could happen to you. That's what he needs to do, is go around and do some speaking engagements, because he's never playing again. I don't know what else he can do. All he can do is work in the front office. Maybe he could coach, do something. But, you know, he raised a lot of money for his charity. That was dope. That was something I really feel good about with seeing. And, you know, but it sucks that it took that, because before he got this injury, he had only raised, like, I think $2,500 for this thing in 2 years.
Yeah, he only needed, he wanted like $3,000.
Yeah, that's all he wanted. And now they got like $4 million or something like that, or maybe $6 million. And I know it's a charity, but we need to let him skim a little bit of that.
Right?
Let him go ahead and skim. Hey, just turn a blind eye. Let that man take a little bit, because that's really what we was doing. We wasn't giving these kids $4 million worth of toys. What?
Yeah.
Nigga, there ain't enough kids. There ain't enough kids in Pittsburgh to play with all them toys. Now, he was doing this. He was doing this to, you know, to get the kids a couple of, you know, some nice gifts, a couple of gifts. You know, dog, come on. Give this man some of them M's. Damn.
Yeah, I hear you on that.
Okay, so to the games, though. So we had a good, I felt like this was maybe one of the best last weeks of football that we've seen in a long time, because a lot of the games mattered.
Yeah, they mattered.
They mattered.
Do you think it's because of the 17th game, the last game, though? You think that mattered?
I was thinking about that the other day, and I was like, you know what? Because I think the 17th game, what it does two things. It gives us some whack-ass games during the regular season, for sure, in the middle, because they got to get these games in wherever, right, this extra game. And then it gives us that last week where you got a whole week where games, and the NFL is scheduling it right. You know what I'm saying? You're getting the last week, you're getting a lot of these divisional matchups where, I mean, hell, we had Detroit, Green Bay, right? We had Detroit, Green yeah. Bay. We had, I mean, they're Niners pretty much cards. All. Yeah, Niners cards, they're pretty much all divisional. Cowboys, Commanders, Giants, Rams, Eagles. Yeah, we got all divisional yeah. games. So it's going to come down to the end where somebody has to win these games and make it happen. And bless their souls, bless their hearts, the Detroit Lions, man, that's my second favorite team. Like, literally, because I love that dude. You watched the Hard Knocks, right? The whole season with them this offseason? Dog, Dan Campbell is my dude. And usually I don't like them like them, I'm tougher old than school. You, I'll kick your ass. I usually don't like them dudes. But when that dude rolls in and his offensive coordinator and his defensive coordinator is brothers, I rock with that dude. We good. Me and Dan Campbell good. Yo, he's giving some brothers a chance to be up there and see if they can make something happen for themselves in the next, you know, the next phase of things. Yo, I like that team and the fact that they had nothing to play for.
Yeah, going into the game, did they know going into the game that they were out, or was it during the
game? Yeah, they knew. They knew because when Seattle won, that meant Detroit could not go to the playoffs. Oh, yeah, it was right. only going Seattle to be had to lose. Green Bay win. Yeah, Seattle had to lose for the beginning. Right. And shout out to my man Gino. We're going to take a second real quick and give Gino his flowers, because there was people, and you know who you are, who I've talked to throughout the years, who was calling this man all kind of bums, saying he was no good when he never got a real shot to play. And all he did was turn in to the best quarterback, have the best quarterback season that the Seahawks ever had. And they got a dude who should be going to the Hall of Fame. Give him his damn flowers, man.
I will admit that. If you would have told me that Geno would have more passing yards in the history of the Seattle Seahawks after Russ had been there for 10 years or however long he was, I'd have said no way.
Dog.
All you need is a chance, bro.
Passing yards. All he needed was a chance, and he never got it, and they finally gave it to him, and now they got a quarterback. Like, they don't have to go draft a quarterback. And they got the Broncos' first pick, which is the number 5 overall. They're about to add some beasts. Oh my lord, they're adding some beasts on. They're gonna get because we're gonna talk about this draft in a second, right? We're gonna talk about this draft in a second because people have been killing my man Lovie Smith, where I don't like this at all. Don't like this at all. But the Seahawks, they're set up. They got Geno Smith. They're gonna have to give him some money coming up pretty soon. Maybe they gotta extend him this year, give him a new contract, give him some money. They'll extend him out, give him some money, and you know what I'm saying, and build on this team. They got a good little squad there. Like, they about to get ramrodded by the Niners this coming weekend, but they got receivers, they got a quarterback, they got a running back. They need an O line, and they need some more D line and some linebackers. They've got a good little squad there, dog. They're going to be all right. But the Lions, I swore I thought that they would just fold up because Jared Goff was there and it was cold outside. And that first quarter, he was looking shook. Did you see him? Like, all the passes were low and behind. And I was like, this dude can't play in the cold. Cannot play in the cold.
But you know what? He came through. He put it together. And as he kind of grew. Now, I'll say this. Aaron Rodgers has some bad throws. But he also threw some dimes that dudes were just dropping, man.
Yeah.
Come on, man.
No, I hear you. I think, but here's my thing with Aaron Rodgers. Wrap it up, B. Wrap it up. I think it's done, man. Like, because there's no sense in him still. Okay, far be it for me to tell somebody, don't go make $50 million, right? But unless you just want that damn 50 mil, which trust me, I want the 50 mil, but what else is he here for except for the money? Because they're not winning and he's not getting any better, right? Some of those passes, I think he's past his prime.
So wait, are you saying wrap it up period or wrap it up with the Packers? Because it's two different wrap ups.
I think you got to wrap it up, period, because where is he going to go? Like, they're not trading him. They're not going to trade him. If he's going to come back, he's going to come back. Now, and if you're going to trade him, who's... Now, I guess anybody might take that contract because somebody just paid Russell Wilson a ransom, right?
Bro, it's Aaron Rodgers. Somebody will take that contract.
I guess somebody will. Hopefully, they'll trade him because I just rather, for me as the Packers, just move on. You're not winning. That guy is not good enough anymore. And this is the thing. I think even with him getting traded somewhere, what we're going to see is the same thing we saw with Russell Wilson to a lesser degree. But I think with Russ and with Aaron Rodgers, what made them so special was, yeah, Aaron Rodgers has a dope-ass arm, but Aaron Rodgers was a mobile quarterback, a dude who could move and make plays with his feet and still throw lasers down the field. Same thing with Russ. But when that athleticism starts to wane a little bit and the arm ain't as sharp as it used to be, dog, they're falling off a cliff. This is the worst year Aaron Rodgers has had in about a decade. Like, literally, the most interceptions he's thrown in 10 years, the least amount of touchdowns. Like, he's not the same guy. And you're going to keep having him go out there and play in the frozen tundra when the games really matter? He's just going to get worse. So
here's my prediction. I guess I need a prediction. But this is where, if I have to take a shot in the dark of where I think he could go, don't be surprised if Aaron Rodgers goes to the Raiders or there's talk about him going to the Raiders.
I could see that. But how do you make it? How do you make it work, though?
That,
you know what I'm saying,
Steve, Derek? I don't know all the, you know, the schematics of how they would do it, but I feel like if that's what he wants, just like with Devontae, right? Like, if that's what he expresses to the Packers, and the Raiders get wind of it and say, "Look, Aaron, want to go reunite with Devontae? He's in a dome because that can add another 2 years to your plan. Yeah. If you can endorse every home game." They'll find a way. The Packers, and I don't think they want a first-round pick. I don't think they need that. I think they just want to get rid of it, get rid of Aaron at this point. Get what they can, move on, wrap it up, get from out of that contract, and they'll figure out what they're going to do quarterback-wise.
Yeah. I you know what? You know what I see and what I think, and this is another playoff team. I could see, because they've got picks, I think they've got picks, the Dolphins. Like,
okay.
Tua cannot, you can't keep throwing him out there. You can't, I think he might be done with football. I can't see the Dolphins playing him this weekend up in Buffalo. You cannot keep throwing this dude out there. He's had three concussions in less than than 2 months?
Yeah.
You cannot keep putting that dude out there. Like, he's got to be done. Or at least the Dolphins can't keep putting him out there. So what's going to happen? I mean, I feel like he might retire. That leaves an open spot for them. And I think if you're the Dolphins, you've got to go get a quarterback because they're ready made. They're just missing a quarterback. That's it.
Yeah, they're ready to go.
And they play in Miami, warm weather. Like, and it's close to South America. He can go get all the ayahuasca he wants. It's all right there. It's literally right there.
I mean,
they can send a boat. He could take a boat catamaran down to South America, grab some ayahuasca, and be back by game time. He could do that. I think the Dolphins would be a dope spot for him. Aaron Rodgers, Tyreek, I think that just – Tyreek Hill, Jalen Waddle, Aaron Rodgers, that is ridiculous. That would be
That's a Super Bowl offense. Now, I don't know about their defense, but from an offensive standpoint, that's a Super Bowl winning offense for sure.
Yeah.
And Mike McDaniel would have the plays right.
Yeah, oh, for sure. But I am worried – you know who I'm worried about, though, is the Cowboys. And I'm not even a Cowboy fan, but all I'm worried. But you know, I ride for the black quarterbacks, dog. Like Dak, I've been riding for Dak in group chats. I mean, I shot a commercial with Dak, so I try to love Dak, even though the commercial didn't run. Thanks a lot, DirecTV. But I try to rock with Dak, man. Like, I'm trying, but they make it so hard. Like, why are they not good? What is wrong? They've got everything they're supposed to have. What is wrong?
I think Dak is feeling the pressure of trying to live up to that contract that he signed. I think every throw he's trying to justify being, what is Dak, top three? Highest paid?
Yeah, I think he's top three.
So I think he is trying to justify, I got to be that dude. And remember, you talked about this a while ago. Dak don't need to be throwing the ball 35, 40 times a game.
Nope.
Like, he's not that dude.
Yeah.
But in his mind, I think because he's getting paid, that's what he thinks he is, Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that ain't it.
And I thought earlier in the season they kind of had fixed that. You know what I'm saying? And they were running the ball, playing defense. And now it seems like they're trying to throw the ball all over the place because CeeDee Lamb, you know, is starting to open up a little bit. And they got, you know, Gallup and who's the other dude? Noah Brown. He ain't even no good, but they keep throwing that dude the ball all the time. And Dalton Schultz, you know, a poor man's Mike Gesicki. You know what I'm saying?
Like, poor man's George Kittle.
You know what I mean? So, like, I don't understand why the Cowboys do this, because if they just ran the ball, play defense. But you know what is really hurting them, though, is on one side, they got Trayvon Diggs. On the other side, they got a dude who needs to be dug into the ground because he is garbage. They are throwing his way all the time.
Every time.
He is the mark. Every time. Like, Trayvon Diggs is barely even in the damn screen anymore because they're not even looking his way. They're just marking the other dude and killing him. I think I saw Mullen over there. I saw another dude named Brown. They were just getting crucified every time, every single play. And so if Michael Parsons and them can't get home, that dude is on the island just getting mashed up, dog. It's just... And I want the Cowboys to be good because they're a good story. I want them to play well, except for when they play the Niners. I want them to play well because everybody loves them. They're fun to talk about, right? But I'm just worried they might go down to Tampa and lose that game.
Well, I'm saying he's got no better setting than against the GOAT on the road, because this is the perfect time for him to be able to shut some people up. But I don't know, man. There. I just think Tom, I think they go win this game. Tampa's going to win this game.
You think so?
I think so, man.
Dog, I can't. And the only reason I would say Tampa's win this game is just because of the names on the jerseys. But if you watch them play, there is no way they should beat the Cowboys. They should not beat the Cowboys. This team is not good.
Yeah. So Tom is a standing statue back there against Michael Parsons. I get that. Because that's the only thing that would be very concerning for me. But I think Tom, going into the playoffs the way they did, I think he's got a little chip, man. I think he's got a little chip, and he's going to come out. He might be old Tom.
So what you think about our team? I mean, we are Niner fans. So, you know, as long as y'all know, you know I'm a Niner fan. Dub is a Niner fan. We've been to a couple games this year.
Gang,
bang, bang, Niner, gang. I'm worried about Purdy.
Okay, so me and you, we keep in constant contact, and we've been talking about Brock Purdy for the longest time. I'm going to say it. I was wrong early. He's a pretty good quarterback from what I've seen so far. And all we can go off of is what we've seen thus far. But we still ain't played no elite offensive team. And to me, that dictates how you play as a starting quarterback on the other side. It's easy to play cool and relaxed when you're playing against the Cardinals, the Redskins, the Raiders, Tampa Bay, because they were trash at times. Even Miami wasn't, for whatever reason, that game they weren't playing good at all. So it's easy to play when you got a 13, 14-point lead. No one's put the gas on you. But me and you went to that Chiefs game. We saw a curb stomp.
We've seen it.
You know what I'm saying? So he's been playing good, but I just don't know.
There's too many questions, so that's why I'm tempered. And people are always like, "Man, why you just be hating all the time? How can you can't just be excited, dog?" Because I've seen this movie, I've seen it. People don't understand. The Niners haven't won a Super Bowl since 1995. Dog, we've been back there two times since 1995, and we lost heartbreakers. I've seen these movies, right? I'm trying to temper your guys' excitement and your heartbreak. Relax with all this Brock Purdy and all the comparisons and just the willingness to throw the baby out with the bathwater that is Trey Lance already. We've seen Brock Purdy play against some trash defenses, haven't had to come from behind, hasn't had to do anything, and hasn't even looked amazing doing it. He's just doing what a quarterback in the NFL should do. It's not like he's being Patrick Mahomes, even though Steve Young wants to compare him to Patrick Mahomes, which...
Stop it.
I feel like I should be struck down by lightning for even mentioning the damn thing. Brock Purdy, like I said in the last podcast, Brock Purdy should look like this. He was a four-year starter in college. That dude should not be getting rattled. He's played a lot of football. He's a quarterback. He knows how to read a defense. He's been doing it as a starter for 4 years in the Big 12. Not like the Big 12 is any good, but he's handled a team for four straight years. He should be able to come in and look unflappable. He should be able to come in and make some of the throws that are required of an NFL quarterback. But if you watch the game, he's missing a lot of throws as well, right? There's a lot of throws that I see him throw in the dirt or throw behind people, which just shows you why that dude was the last pick in the draft. And Dub, you were talking about that before we started. You were saying Brock Purdy's going to get a lot of people fired. And I agree with you because you said Brady got a lot of people fired. I agree.
Yeah.
But it's like you're firing somebody for not finding the needle in the haystack, right? Yeah. So what are they going to do? Is everybody all of a sudden going to start looking for the dude in college who doesn't hop off the field, who doesn't pop off your screen? Because that's basically who Brock Purdy was. He doesn't have, like, this electric arm. He's not a fast runner or anything. He is more mobile than Jimmy G, but he's a good quarterback who was handed the keys to a damn Bentley, and he hasn't crashed it yet.
Oh, he hasn't crashed it, thank God. And but see, it's just, it's hard. I think of all the teams, it's the hardest to be a Niner fan. And let me put some context to this. Because we have the best overall team, offensively, talent-wise, and defensively. With Debo, Ayuk, with Kittle. We have all these stars on both sides of the ball, which – you would think like, oh, we're a lock to go to the Super Bowl and even possibly win the Super Bowl. But we have something going against us in hundreds of years. I don't know how many years the NFL have been going on. No rookie has ever won the Super Bowl, ever.
No.
And it's like, how do you go against that? You know what I mean? So it's hard to be a Niner. I mean, it's not hard, but it's tricky. It's a tricky time right now to be a Niner fan.
Yeah. And I think, as we've talked about this too, like what happens after next year? I mean, I'm not trying to jump ahead and be all crazy with it, but what happens next year when Trey Lance is healthy? And if Purdy leads them to a nice run in the playoffs or, oh my God, wins the Super Bowl. Like I said, if he wins them a Super Bowl, I'm a Purdy fan and you got to be done with Trey Lance. But I think already, we can say this right now, the Trey Lance trade was a bad-ass idea.
Yes. No,
like, if I was listening to Bomani Jones talk about this today earlier, and he basically is echoing what we talked about 2 years ago before the draft. You don't trade, like, It's asinine that you traded away all these picks to get a dude who you never really saw do it at the highest level, but off potential, when you can go get the dude who didn't cost you no picks and you could have got him, which you did, at the end of the damn draft, and your team looks just as good, if not better, than everybody else in the league. So why 100%. Are you spending that capital to get to draft up and trade and get a guy like this when you don't? You don't, I mean, I get it. We want to upgrade the position, but this Purdy thing is just making that Lance trade look god awful.
Yeah, I think you never trade up for a dude who, if you have to say, I think he can be great, like there should be no think if you're trading as much as we did to go up to number. You got to get a dude who you say, if I get him in the building, he's going to be great.
Like, yeah.
At the time, you know, he's just now becoming decent, Trevor Lawrence. But at the time, the Trevor Lawrence is the Andrew Luck. Those consensus number one picks and highest rated picks, those are guys where you say, if I get them in the building, they're going to be great. I just need to coach them up.
Yeah.
There is no it. There is no I think. And with Trey, there was just too many questions, man.
Yeah. And we had Justin Fields sitting right there. Like, can you imagine Justin Fields on this team? Can you imagine? Oh, my God.
But
oh
not even that. That. Like, think about the defensive players or even the other skilled position players we could have drafted that could have been just as dope, because it's just proven you don't have to get a quarterback in the top five or top 10 to go to the playoffs. So let's do this. Out of the teams who are in the playoffs, let's do the NFC. How many of those quarterbacks were top 10 picks?
NFC. Dak Prescott. Nope.
Nope.
Tom Brady. Nope.
Nope.
Purdy. Nope.
Nope.
Geno Smith. Nope.
Nope.
Daniel Jones.
Okay. Okay.
Daniel Jones. Kirk Cousins. Nope.
Suspect.
Kirk Cousins. Nope.
Nope.
And Jalen Hurts. Nope. No, nope. There's one top 10 pick. He ain't even better than any of the other ones. Like, there's nope. one. You don't have to do it. You just don't. And that's something I was saying before. If you're taking a quarterback outside of the, if you're not trading up to go get a quarterback, you might as well just wait and let somebody fall around to you. There is no reason to draft a quarterback at the end of the draft, like in the first round. I don't even think you take a quarterback in the first round if it's somebody that nobody else is trading up to get, because that's just a dude that you can replace with anybody. Kenny Pickett was that dude from this year at what, 23? He was the first quarterback taken at 23. Dog, they could have been fine just waiting and grabbing somebody in the second, third, fourth round instead of spending that first rounder on him and grab an impact offensive line, defensive line, wide receiver, something. Kenny Pickett is just a dude. He will be gone in 3 years. You know what I'm saying? It's just, it just don't matter. And speaking of quarterbacks in the draft, well, let's wrap this NFL thing up real quick with Lovie Smith and the Texans. And you called me yep. yesterday and were like, what the hell are the Texans doing? Because we had opposite sides of this thing. And so you tell them what your beef was at first.
So my side, I'm in the car driving and I'm hearing the Texans won. And they completed like a 4th-and-20 pass and went for two to win the game. And in my head, my thought process was, wait, wouldn't that have cost them the first pick though? Now, again, I'm under the understanding you need a quarterback, right? And if Bryce Young is your guy, or if you think, you know, CJ Stroud, whoever you think could go number one is your guy, I'm like, damn, that's a game I might not want to win to secure the future of my franchise. Now, after I spoke with you, you calmed me down. We talked about, well, look, it really don't matter because now the Bears have the number one pick. So it's all irrelevant because the Bears ain't picking a quarterback. So you're still going to have CJ Stroud, Bryce Young, whoever it is they want to pick is going to be there. And at the end of the day, it's Lovie's job to win ball games. That's what he's there to do. That's what he's getting paid to do. That's what you got to do. So
it's absolutely insane. I was listening to people. Adam Schefter got on TV this morning, and I had to do a IG post about it. Adam Schefter got on and was undressing Lovie for failing at failing, saying they need to lose the game. Now they don't have the first pick. I'm like, dog, this is insane that they would do this. And I'm taking it here because this is what I do. You're going to castigate this black NFL head coach, which there aren't many, almost none, right? You're going to castigate this dude who knows it's hard to have this job in the NFL for winning an NFL game, which is already hard to do. A dude who knows he's probably going to get fired because why? He coaches the Texans, who just fired a black dude last year who'd only been there for 1 year. And both of them got fired. Why? Because they couldn't win games with Davis Mills at quarterback. I want you to show me. Give Bill Belichick Davis Mills and see how many games they win, right? Doug. And so we're calling this man out for getting his team prepared to win and go out and show some heart, right? Which is what everybody's always talking about. Man, they got heart. Man, show some heart. Lovie Smith did that. And it doesn't even matter if they won or lost, right? They went out there and they won. Those dudes wanted to play and win a game. So they win the game. They fall to number two in the draft. The Bears get the number one overall pick. They're not taking a quarterback, and they're not trading that pick because there's nowhere they can trade with anybody who needs a quarterback that would knock them out of a chance to get Will Anderson or Jalen Carter, who are probably the two best players in this draft outside of Bryce Young, because I think Bryce Young is the truth. But the Bears are going to stay right there and take one of those dudes. They're not trading outside of the top five. And so the Texans are going to get their quarterback, and Lovie just saved them money on a quarterback, because now instead of having to pay him number one money, you're going to pay a quarterback number two money. Doug, it's absolutely mind-blowing that people went in on him and lost their minds. And thank God Michael Irvin was on TV today with some sense, because he was talking about it. He's like, yo, ain't nobody give a damn about them draft picks. If I'm playing in that locker room and there's somebody who comes to me and talks about, hey, we need to lose this game because of the draft pick, I'm busting him in his damn mouth. Are you crazy? Like, these dudes are out here because, and we'll tie it all back to DeMar. They're out there playing because you never know when you're going to be a DeMar Hamlin. You are going all out all the time to win and play your hardest because everybody's watching, right? So these dudes are going to go out there and tank or lose a game because they want to get a number one draft pick who, for all intents and purposes, dog, these are just lottery tickets. You don't know if that shit is really going to hit. You don't know what they're going to do, but we got to get this number one pick. We're going to lose this game, so we definitely get Bryce Young or C.J. Stroud. Them dudes could be busts. You don't know. All you do know is that I'm going out there and putting my best tape out there because we suck. I'm going to have to go get another job somewhere anyway, and what they going to do? They're going to hold it against me when they see me on the game lagging, when I ain't really going hard because we supposed to get the number one pick. And what they going to do to Lovie when Lovie tries to go get another job? You know for sure somebody going to say, oh, man, I've seen him tank some games before, though. Nick, what? this is what they would do. It's crazy to me that this is where we're at, but it just comes in from, you know, it's all the sports talk and the media and people doing this because I know for me, and I know for you, as a player, dog, unless the coach sits me down, if I'm in there playing, and the coach is like, yo, let's get this wins game, I'm playing. Yeah. I'm playing.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, if it's a slow cycle, and that's the crazy thing, right? There's plenty of stuff to talk about. So to bring that up on the day that he got fired, too.
Yeah.
I mean, come on, man. Let's not bring that up.
Kick him right down. Oh. You saw the story about Bernie Kosar, right?
No.
Oh, my God.
I did not.
So Bernie Kosar, former quarterback for the Cleveland Browns, he is the pregame show host for the team, Cleveland Browns. He works for the Cleveland Browns, does a pregame show, right? He was on there talking about how this week he bet $19,000. It was a symbolic bet because he was number 19. He bet $19,000 on the Browns to win the game. And immediately upon relaying that information over the airwaves, he was hit with a message saying, your services are no longer needed. He was fired.
I was about to say, can he do that?
You cannot do that when you work for the NFL, when you work for any NFL team as a player, as a coach, as a talking head. You are not allowed to gamble on the games. So my man put $19,000 on the Browns, and guess what happened, Doug?
Oh, my God. Well, they won the game.
The Browns
Did they win?
Lost that game. They lost, Doug.
They won last week. It was last week they won.
He lost $19,000 and his job.
How much was his salary?
I don't know. He lost $19,000 and his job in one day.
Oh. What would make him think he can say that?
I don't know. Keep that to yourself, because if he never said anything, he probably keeps his job. And he lost the 19, but he keeps his job. Ain't nobody checking for Bernie Kosar, placing bets. You know what I'm saying? Like, what do you have to tell the world about this for? Just be telling on themselves. Okay, so game picks. What do we got? This is Wild Card Weekend. Niners, Seahawks. What do you think?
I mean, this is all Niners. This is easy money right here.
Yeah, Niners. I think that's
an
easy game. All day. Vikings, Giants. Giants at the Vikings.
It's indoors. I'm going Vikings. I don't think Giants can score enough points.
Man, I'm actually going with the Giants on this one, dog. I think
really?
I think it's going to be a close game. Dog, they played earlier this year, and the Vikings won 27-24 on a walk-off field goal. Right? It was like a 55-yard field or 60-yard field goal to win the game. I think the Giants, Kayvon, your boy that we used to talk trash about before the draft, that dude is a monster, dog. He ain't shit. He's an asshole. But that dude is a monster. Like, he's been a beast, man.
I think in order for the Giants to win, Saquon's got to go off. And
yeah.
They just haven't shown me any consistency with what they can do with Saquon going off. And then I just don't know who on the outside they're going to be throwing to.
Yeah.
Dog.
Yeah, that's
You
the
see
thing.
They paid Kenny Galladay $72 million, and he just got his first touchdown in 2 years?
Yeah, man. He is a bust. Bust. But I'm going with the Giants in that one, dog. I'm going with the Giants in that one. Okay. What else we got? We got who else? Oh.
Well, Cowboys,
Buccaneers,
and,
Cowboys.
We gonna do Cowboys and Buccaneers, Bucks.
Buccaneers, Cowboys. What you think?
I'm going Bucks in a close game. I say wow. Bucks by six.
Wow. I'm going Cowboys, dog. I gotta stick with my black quarterback. I gotta stick with him. I cannot. They're too good to have. They have too much talent to lose to the trash Buccaneers. I just think that they're trash. I think Brady is old. He is a wrap it up, be superlative candidate. He needs to wrap it up for real. Okay. Where we at? Okay. AFC. Bills, Dolphins.
Oh, that's Bills. Bills all day.
I don't think Tua's playing.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's Bills, so not even close, because they go play Teddy Bridgewater or the other dude.
Yeah, or the other dude who is Skylar Thompson.
Yeah.
Nah, I don't want no quarterback named Skyler, dog. Nah, you got to go.
Cincy Ravens?
Bengals Ravens?
Okay, so is Lamar playing or what?
I think he's going to play, but he's still – I mean, he hasn't played in 5 weeks, so that dude's coming back in off of injury and rusty. There's no way they're winning this game.
No, I would be shocked if they pulled this off.
Shocked. There's no way they're winning this game. If they win this game, I need people to everybody buy your tickets to the Lamar train and get on. I don't want to hear no more about this dude. If he comes back after being injured and been gone for 5 weeks and beats the Bengals at home, just leave that man alone. Give him all this money and leave that man alone. What else we got over there on that side?
Oh,
we got
Chargers.
Lord.
Chargers, Jacksonville.
Chargers. With the coach who needs to be fired. Tell him why he needs to be fired, Dub.
Okay. When you have a playoff seed wrapped up for all you non-football
locked
fans.
Locked in.
And it don't matter the outcome of the game if you move up or go down. Your seed is locked. So if you win or lose, you are still going to be the exact same seed you started out before the kickoff.
Just like
you
the Giants.
You do not play any of your starters. You might want to play them a couple of plays, a quarter, whatever, but you do not play them deep into the third, into the fourth quarter of a football game. Like, we just saw, and I don't want to bring DeMar Hamlin into this, but we just saw how basic of a tackle one can make and something as crazy happen afterwards. So, I mean, his job needs to be on the line.
It needs to be. He's got, unless they win a Super Bowl, he's got to go. Like, I've this whole season I've been talking about, I don't think he's a good coach. He goes for it on fourth down too much, and then there's times where he doesn't go for it on fourth down when he should, and now you got this dude playing starters. He's got to go. But
he got Mike Williams hurt.
Got Mike Williams hurt. Now you down a receiver. You already ain't got no receivers who can burn nobody. You got a bunch of move the chain dudes. Like, this is – I think the Jaguars win this game. And they played a tough game in Tennessee against Tennessee, where I thought they should have beat Tennessee's brakes off with Josh Dobbs, who he's not good. But
no,
I don't understand. I don't understand how. But I think the thing with Tennessee is they can run the damn ball. When they got Derrick Henry back and he was just gushing them for yards, and their defense is dope. I don't see the Chargers don't got that kind of defense. The Chargers ain't got that kind of running game. So it's gonna be all on Justin Herbert taking these little dink and dunk. 10-yard, because they ain't got no burners. So
no.
I think the Jaguars win this game. I think it's the Jags.
Yeah, I'm going Jags, and they're gonna have, obviously one of the best turnarounds from that Urban experience from last year, which was awful.
Yeah, oh, god awful. So
he better not get another coaching job ever again.
Dog, I've heard some rumblings. I gotta forget where I saw. I thought somebody was talking about Urban possibly. Just can't happen. So we probably ain't gonna have you for Super Bowl. But who you got for Super Bowl? What you got?
Okay, I'm gonna go. It's a cliche to just go Kansas City because they're number one and they got Patrick.
I think they win it too. I got Kansas City too.
I'm saying
they got home field.
I've seen the dude be down in games this year, and as long as he's got the ball, I just feel like there's no other better player that gives you a chance when 15 got the ball. And he don't even have great weapons around him. That's what's crazy. So I say it's a rematch. Niners versus the Eagles. I mean, I'm talking about Niners versus the KC. And the only reason why I don't have the Eagles going is because I still think Jalen Hurts is hurt. I think his shoulder's still messed up.
Yeah. What do you think? Another week? You think he got a week to get right? A week to rest up a little bit more?
I know they had to secure the number one seed, but they were saying he was hurt during yesterday's game. And that's a throwing shot. That's tough.
Yeah. I think I'm a Giants fan for the rest of these playoffs because I think I want the Giants. I mean, I'm a Giants or a Vikings. Although we would end up playing the Vikings if they, when they win in the second round. But I would love the Giants to beat the Vikings so then they would play the Eagles in the next round. And I think the Giants could beat them because they played tough games. I think the Giants can mess around. And if the Giants beat them, then the Niners get the conference championship at home and we beating the Giants. So I'm going to go ahead and do it too. I'm going to stick with the Niners. I'm going to say Niners, Kansas City. And then we end for a whole hell of a damn offseason with Brock Purdy and this Trey Lance thing. And, Lord, I don't want to hear it, but we going to hear it. National championship tonight, TCU, Georgia. What you got?
Come on now, man. All right, so shout out to my godson, my nephew, Evan Vernon, senior at TCU. Showed me a great time, and I wanted to go visit him. So, I'm about to ride with – I've been to the stadium, dog, the vibe, the atmosphere. I'm riding with the Horned Frogs. I'm going to say they win by field goal.
Hold up. Dub, you don't got to do this. I know. I'm sure your cousin's going to listen. He's going to love you either way. You don't have to put this on your name, okay? Let's just be real. They're about to get stomped.
I've gone too far. I can't jump over again. I've gone too far.
Doug,
I got two hats. I got a beanie. I got too much merchandise to turn around now. I've gone too far.
They are about to get stomped. I hope it's a good game. I don't mind. I don't mind a big game. I mean, although I did bet, I took Georgia minus 13.5 because I just think they've got too much. TCU has never, and you could say, well, they beat Michigan. Michigan ain't no damn Georgia. Like, Georgia has never, they have NFL players everywhere. TCU got about three. You know what I'm saying? I'm saying TCU got about three dudes who can make some noise in the NFL. Like, the receiver is dope. I think they got a dope DB. And their quarterback is going to be a backup in the NFL. You know what I'm saying? Like, their running back is supposed to be good, but I think he's hurt. I think he's hurt, though. So,
linebacker's hurt. They got a good linebacker, though. Number 13.
Linebacker's good.
I just don't like everywhere.
I know I don't like him either. But all he does, I didn't know. He just gets it done.
He's 25 years old.
25.
You are 25 years old. Come on, man.
Doug, that's part of what helps them be great is they got a dude who's more experienced and a little smarter than all these dudes because he's older than them. Like, literally, he just is going to make better decisions than a 21-year-old or a 19-year-old quarterback. You know what I'm saying? And I mean, Max Duggan ain't that far off. I think, was he like 23, 24? Like, what was the dude's name? Remember the dude from Florida State? Old ass quarterback. Winky. They got a bunch of Chris Winkies out here trying to play ball, dog. You get an old dude who got some experience. That helps you out in college.
This is what's dope. This is what NIL is going to do. Dudes don't have to go to the NFL now. Dudes can sit, make money, and if they're not ready, they can say, I'd rather play another year in college, make $100,000, $200,000, and then go to the NFL later. You're going to see a lot of dudes, fifth-year seniors, starting in national championship games.
True. Very true. And well said. And thank you so much for coming on. That's my man, Justin Wilson. Appreciate
Anytime,
you.
Bro.
Kevin Cleland, thank you so much for engineering, producing, running the show. You've been listening to I'm Probably Right. Rate us, review us, subscribe, comment, but please don't be hating. And find us wherever you find your podcast: Apple, Spotify, iTunes, SoundCloud, TuneIn, all that good stuff. And make sure if you like, Believe Podcast Network. That's BLEAV.com. Find us. And if you like the podcast, and I know you do, share it, tell a friend. We'll see y'all next week. Peace.